great Kahan Shaul Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Please be seated. Praise Yahweh for a beautiful Sabbath day in this beautiful 45th day of the Omar. Five more days, brothers and sisters, to become this gold and be presented to Yahweh on this day as part of this first fruits. Now, we know Yahshua was the first one into this kingdom, but somebody's got to be next, okay? And that somebody is our pastor, and we can be a part of that. And that's what I want to talk today, being a part with him, because this last remnant, as we'll see, has a part in this kingdom unlike any of the others that went before us, except for Yahshua. Now, because he's the only one that went before us that's still alive. The others are still asleep awaiting the resurrection, and they need someone to resurrect them because Yahshua's not coming down to resurrect them, and neither is Yahweh, and they're awaiting this, and we can be a part of this. There's so much more, brethren, that we need to learn and see about this great kingdom and how it's set up and what we can be a part of here, and it all ties in to what I'm going to bring to you today, which I don't want to get too far off the tangent here, but it's all tied in here, and it's about obedience. All right, and before you close your book and say, well, we've heard all that before, we've heard about obedience, you know, I already know about this. Well, you got to consider, too, that the idea of obedience is constantly under attack by Satan. It was under attack by Satan from the very beginning, from the moment she rebelled against Yahweh, becoming disobedient, and then that was her main goal in preaching to mankind. The obedience to Yahweh was the first thing she went after. Remember when she approached Mother Eve in the garden. You can turn over to Genesis 3:1. Some of these you're just going to have to mark in your notes, and we'll be referring to, but remember in Genesis 3:1, right out of the gate, what's her first words? Has Yahweh indeed said? You know, oh, you don't have to obey. You know, you won't die. Yahweh already told him, if you disobey, you're dying, you will die. And she's like, oh, you don't have to obey him. You're not going to die. You know, don't you have a mind of your own? Can't you think for yourself? What is it, mind control over there? Is that what they're teaching you over there? Mind control? I mean, what is the Abel teaching over there? And who put him in charge? He's the younger brother. You know, Cain, you ought to go and listen to Cain. Yeah, let's go listen to Cain. He's the one that knows. He doesn't make us follow all these rules, obedience. You know, that's what she did. You know, and that's the history of it. And on she went like this until Eve gave in and disobeyed and followed Cain, who was disobedient to Yahweh. Remember, it was Abel. Abel was teaching obedience. Now, how could you obey Yahweh and not obey Abel? Think about it. That was right in Genesis 4 there. Now, why do you think Satan attacks obedience so hard? Do you think it might be because obedience to Yahweh is just that important? I think so. You know, I notice, as Yahshua said, that it would be that what the world attacks, that the world would attack strongly the very things that Yahweh loves and the very things that Yahweh requires. You know, many, I noticed it in Israel, and many others have too, about, you know, you could go to Israel and go there and you could pray to anybody you want. You can pray to a rock wall if you want. And that's all great. They're fine with it. Go there and say the name of Yahweh and see the reaction you get. Does that give you any indication? Why? Above anything. You could pray to Buddha. You could pray to Adonai, Elohim, everything, Mary even. And nobody cares. Nobody blinks an eye. But say Yahweh, and you're about likely to get stoned over there, okay? And that's the way it is. Why the hatred? Why the hatred for the name of Yahweh? You know, is it because it is the Creator's name, maybe? Do you think that might be what it is? And it's the same way here in the United States. You could go worship anywhere else and all over the world. In fact, as Yahshua said, be hated above all nations. You could go anywhere in the world and worship any group with any group, and the world will love you. They'll praise you. They'll brag about you. It's not even the seventh day. You could be a Seventh-day Adventist. You could be a so-called Jew, and they have no problem with that. Come to the house of Yahweh and be taught the truth of the Scriptures by Israel Hawkins, and then decide to obey what you're taught, and you are going to be attacked every which way, from your family, from your jobs, from everyone around you is going to hate the fact that you are obeying the house of Yahweh and Israel Hawkins. It's the only group that gets hated. And that's just as Yahshua said. Why else would people leave here and dedicate their entire lives to attacking the house of Yahweh and Israel Hawkins and trying to teach you on the internet, on Facebook, and every way else to disobey? Why would it be such a concern that they want you to disobey, huh? You know, you think Satan's got anything to do with that? You think she's using the same tactics she did to get disobedience out of Cain and out of Eve and out of Adam? Disobedience is what Satan wants. And all the while, they claim to be following Yahweh. And we'll see an example of that. All right? And the reason they do this is they have joined the work that Satan started in Genesis 3 against obedience to Yahweh. That's their fight. They're fighting against obedience to Yahweh. And they'll use any sneaky tactic they can to get you, to get us, the called out ones, to disobey Yahweh. Remember, obedience to Yahweh, it starts with Deuteronomy 12:5. Let's turn there. This is where obedience to Yahweh starts. And I'll prove that to you as we look down in this chapter. But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh. That's what Abel had in the garden. And that's the fight that Satan put up. Don't be obedient. Don't seek the place. And for heaven's sakes, don't listen to that guy who's speaking. Don't obey. Notice what they were doing until Moshe. Now, this is Moshe instructing this particular group that they got to come to the house of Yahweh. Notice what they were doing before that. They were following what Eve taught. You must not do it all as we are doing here this day. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. When you're taught obedience and not doing what is right in your own eyes anymore, that's what the world calls mind control. That's what Satan and whatever else tricks he can get to make it seem, to make you seem weak or stupid. Obedience is seen as weakness. Like we mentioned before, well, don't you have your own mind to think with? Can't you make up your own decisions? You know, that is made to look desirable. But the ways thereof is that's bringing nuclear war is what it's bringing. Now, so it starts with Deuteronomy 12:5. You go to the place. And then you don't do what's right in your own eyes anymore. We must not do at all as we did up until we came here. That's doing what's right in our own eyes. Or as Proverbs said, don't lean on your own understanding. But isn't Yahweh talking to me directly? You know, well, you might think that if you're smoking something. And I've known a few people, but, you know, I always notice these ones that is being spoken to by the Creator directly or by Jesus, some of them say. He's telling everybody something a little bit different. And none of them get the same, none of them can tell you the same set of instructions. It's all a little bit different because it's what they felt in their pea-picking little heart there. in following their own ways, following what's right in their own eyes. But Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18 tells you, just as Yahweh did in the garden, that he would raise up a prophet through prophecy, is what it means, raise it up through prophecy, and him you must obey. And that anyone who will not listen and obey, Yahweh will judge them for it. Now that's the law of Yahweh. All those who say they keep the laws of Yahweh, and I got a question for you. But then Deuteronomy 17, you know, and it tells you, this is all tying in with Deuteronomy 12. You know, if you go to a place, he's not just saying go out there and some cactus will talk to you out there. Or maybe there's a cow there sitting in a field waiting for you. No, there was a man waiting here for us, teaching us just like Abel taught in the very beginning. Same pattern, just like Moshe was teaching. And well, Moshe died, right? Well, then who is left? Well, I guess they all just went their own way. No, he had Yahshua ben Nun, did he not? And on, every prophet, Samuel. But notice the pattern of the people was always to follow what Genesis, you know, what occurred in Genesis. They disobeyed. They turned in disobedience. And then in Deuteronomy 17, 10, well, in 9, it says, go to the priests who are Levites. You must act according to the sentence that they pronounce to you. Their decision. Yes, the house of Yahweh makes decisions under the direction of the priest. That's according to the law. According to the law they teach you. Yes, that's the only place you can get the law. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a need to go to the place. And according to the decisions, not everyone leaning on their own understanding. No, Yahweh has put a decision maker in place, and we need to obey that. You want to see how important obedience is here? Please turn to Exodus 19. We just saw where Yahweh commanded it. Now in Exodus 19 and 5, notice it's not for no reason that Yahweh is asking us to obey. Now, therefore, if you will truly obey my voice. Now, no one has heard Yahweh. So what is his voice? His spokesman, as we'll see here. His spokesman. By keeping my covenant, not leaning on your own understanding, not the little voice you think you hear in your head that, you know, everybody else hears, they say, but they all say something different. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth and indeed all the universe is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. A kingdom. Yes, he's forming a kingdom. He's forming a kingdom that is going to make sure that the curses of sin never engulf this place again. Never engulf the earth first and then the whole universe. That's our jobs. But we'll see that there's ranks here in this kingdom, and that we have a great opportunity here. And of course, that voice is Israel Hawkins. He is the spokesman. Write down Zechariah 4:12 and Revelation 11:4. He is the only one of those two left alive that stands for the Father in the earth. Now I ask, here's the question I have for the followaways, because we just saw where Yahweh was going to raise somebody up here in Zechariah 4 and Revelation 11 is the prophecy of two who would stand for the Father in the earth. Well, if it's not Israel Hawkins, ask him, then who is it? Write your answer down. Who is it? Who's standing for Yahweh? Where is he? Where is the place? Where do I go and pay tithes? As you'll see, was also commanded there in Deuteronomy 12 to go to the place and there pay your tithes and special gifts. Well, they can't answer that because Satan has no answers. They can't tell you where to go. This is what disobedience does. It brings confusion to the mind. Disobedience. brings confusion to the mind, and they have no answers. They have no doctrine of salvation. Without those laws, those are the most very basic laws to obey. They have no doctrine of salvation. Now, Abraham, remember in Genesis 26:5, Yahweh says he chose Abraham because Abraham obeyed my voice. He obeyed. Now, I can just hear the disobedience say, well, I can't believe what that Melchizedek is asking me to do. He's plumb crazy. Did you hear what he wants me to do? Show me that. Where's that law? Where's that a law in the scriptures? But was Abraham like that? No, Abraham was willing and obedient. Turn over to Isaiah 1. I want you to mark that one because it shows willingness and obedience. Isaiah 1 in verse 19. If you will be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Okay, Yahshua said Abraham and Isaac and Jacob will be in the kingdom. But the last will be first, he also said. And we are the last. We are it, brethren. This is it. There are no other works of Yahweh left in the plan of Yahweh, the plan of salvation for mankind. This is the seventh and the last one. This is it. This kingdom will be established in this lifetime of Israel Hawkins. There's no question about it. But as 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells you, we have an unimaginable inheritance above and beyond all the rest that came before us. And the reason for that, and because he says there in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen nor ear heard what's in the plan of Yahweh, what Yahweh has in store for those who love, meaning obey. For those who obey him. And the reason we have this great promise is because Yochanan 20. Turn to Yochanan 20 in verse 29. Yahshua said to him, Thomas, you doubter, show me the proof. Here, Mr. Show me the proof, I guess. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Well, the full understanding, the full meaning of that believing without seeing is obeying. Obeying without fully understanding. Obeying what the house of Yahweh teaches without having to say, why? Show me the proof. Where's that written? I don't see that in the scriptures. Remember, Proverbs 1:7 and Psalms 1:10 or 1:11. Let's turn over to Psalms 1:11. Psalms 1:11 here in verse 10. The reverence of Yahweh, that is obedience. Strict obedience to what the teacher teaches us is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, you can't even start to have wisdom till you become willing and obedient. A great understanding you will have first, and then you might one day start obeying all the laws. No, that's not what it says. A great understanding have all they who do your laws. Doing the law comes first, and the understanding later. There may be things we don't understand till the kingdom. But Yahshua said, blessed are those who obey without the understanding first. Okay, and this is so important to our being in this kingdom and being this first in rank which the last remnant alone has. Okay, and this holy priesthood, remember, wasn't even started until Yahshua. It's what comes after Yahshua here that's in this last remnant, and which didn't start till the two witnesses started this work. Which, by the way, I think we all said we found them. Remember? We found them. Now the next step is obey. Then Yahweh will bless you with understanding. Only then. But we will be this first in rank right under Yahshua because we obeyed. We obeyed without understanding. We have no revenge, retaliation, or bloodshed in our lives at all. We get rid of all retaliation and revenge. And of course, bloodshed out of our lives and never even think about going back to that. Now, if we turn from that obedience, as Ezekiel 18, 24, and 25 shows, if we turn from that obedience, none of our righteousness. Remember, we could stand before Yahshua. Well, didn't I do many wonderful works? Didn't I come to the feast once or twice? I almost paid tithes once. You know, none of that will be remembered. None of our righteousness that we've done will be remembered, and we will have our place with the liars and the hypocrites if we turn from that obedience. I want to read you a bit of history here to maybe drive home how important obedience to the word of Yahweh is. And don't think here, I know the way the King James writes this, it's like, well, the word just floated down on the wings of a dove or something. You know, but turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. I want to read this to you because it shows the importance of obeying the authority, as Hebrews 13, 7, obey those who have the rule over you. And remember, he who rules as Yahweh. All these things ought to be popping into your head and tying together here into a strong strand of love that is what binds us donkeys to the branch. Remember, it's not a rope. It's a spiritual strand of willingness and obedience that binds us to this branch. And that was the prophecy of those who would be at the very top, right next to or under Yahshua, here in the kingdom, as Genesis 49 showed. 1 Kings 13. Behold, a man of Yahweh came from Yada by the word of Yahweh. Remember how this word comes. To Bethel, he went to the house of God here that had taken over. These kings had taken over, remember. And Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. He cried out against the altar by the word of Yahweh, and he said, "Altar, altar, this is what Yahweh says. Behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you." And he gave the sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign Yahweh has given. The altar will be split apart, and the ashes on it shall pour out." When King Jeroboam heard the words the man of Yahweh cried out against the altar in Bethel, he reached out his hand from the altar and said, "Seize him!" Then his hand, which he had stretched out toward the man, withered, so he was unable to pull it back. Also the altar had split apart, and the ashes poured out upon from the altar according to the sign given by the man of Yahweh by the word of Yahweh. Then the king answered and said to the man of Yahweh. Now notice, now he got himself in trouble. Now he's wanting, "Oh, help me. Intercede on my behalf to Yahweh your father. Pray for me, so my hand may be restored to me." So the man of Yahweh made the request of Yahweh, and the king's hand was restored to him, becoming just as it was before. Then the king said to the man of Yahweh, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a gift." But the man of Yahweh said to the king, "If you were to give me half of your possessions, I would not go with you." Remember, Yahshua said, if you gain the world and lose your salvation, what have you gained? "I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place, because this was commanded me by the word of Yahweh, saying, 'You shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came.'" Well, where's that in the law? You lawyers, find that in the law. But this man of Yahweh was obedient here. At this point, he says, so he left another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Now, an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the things the man of Yahweh had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words he had spoken to the king. Their father said to them, which way did he leave? So his son showed him the road of the man of Yahweh from Yada had taken. Then he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey, and he set out upon it. He went out after the man of Yahweh and found him sitting under an oak tree. Interesting there, an oak tree with the oak leaves. Then he asked him, are you the man of Yahweh who came from Yada? He replied, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat. But he said, I cannot return with you nor go with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. Because I have been commanded by the word of Yahweh, you must not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. But he said to him, I too am a prophet. Yahweh is with me too. As you are, and Amalek spoke to me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with you to your house, so he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. And as they sat at the table, the word of Yahweh came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of Yahweh who came from Yada and said, this is what Yahweh says. Because you have defied the word of Yahweh and have disobeyed the command. Notice that instruction there was a command from Yahweh himself. That your father gave you, but you came back and ate bread and drank water in the place that he told you not to eat bread or drink water. Your corpse will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers. And I think he was a little more worried about his salvation at that point than his corpse. After he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him, and he set out. A lion attacked him on the road. Remember, Satan is going about like a roaring lion, and this beastly system is like a roaring lion. Keep this in mind. This beastly system is like a roaring lion. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion also stood by the corpse. Men passed by there and saw the corpse thrown on the road and the lion standing by the corpse. They went and reported this in the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who had brought him back from his way heard this, he said, that is the man of Yahweh who was disobedient to the word of Yahweh. Yahweh handed him over to the lion, which has mauled and killed him according to the word of Yahweh, which he spoke against him. Then he spoke to his son, saying, saddle up the donkeys for me. So they saddled it. And he went and found a corpse thrown on the road and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse nor mauled the donkey. Then the prophet picked up the corpse of the man of Yahweh, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. The old prophet came to the city to mourn for him and to bury him. And he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him and cried out, O my brother! After he had buried him, he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of Yahweh is buried. Lay my bones next to his bones, because the prophecy he cried out by the word of Yahweh against the altar in Bethel, those who fell away, and against all the houses with the high places in the cities of Samaria will surely come to pass. Even after this, the fallaway king did not turn from his evil way, but continued to appoint priests from every class of people for the high places. Yes, they'll make you a priest if you leave here in their group. Anyone who wanted to become a priest, he consecrated him and became one of the priests of the houses with the high places. This was the sin of the house of Jeroboam, which led to its extermination and destruction from the face of the earth. Yes, this whole beastly system is soon to destroy itself, brothers and sisters, all because of disobedience. All because of disobedience to that word of Yahweh. And that word of Yahweh is shortly to come to us today once again. And so at this time, if everyone will please stand, it's my great opportunity to turn the services over to the great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I heard someone was looking for a lawyer. Please be seated. We have several news stories today that hopefully will increase your faith, as they all should, because it's proving the prophecies coming to pass, as the pastor has been explaining them to us for decades. We had a Cleveland kidnapping, which probably many of you have heard, but this one man kidnapped three girls and held them captive for over 10 years in some cases. And as you watch the horror of this situation, keep in mind the love of the many growing cold. Or another way of looking at it is the Catholic Church creates monsters. Keep in mind that these girls were simply offered a ride by this man, who probably appeared perfectly nice at the time they got in, and that was the end of their life for 10 to up to 20 years. Then we have the CBS Evening News. The IRS has admitted that some of its employees have targeted conservative groups for extra scrutiny. I mean, this shows the nature of the beastly governmental system, and its actual position on free speech is not quite what it pretends to be. And it also shows that government officials will lie about things. And then we have that Texas is going to launch a criminal investigation into the fertilizer plant explosion in West Texas. And this is kind of indications, although they don't have any proof of it, but they're wondering and they think that possibly that was done on purpose, that that was not an industrial accident. And this is something to keep in mind, too. With a lot of things in the world that are thought of as accidents, they're not. But they're even these children disappearing, they thought the children ran away. And that wasn't what occurred. This explosion, it probably was on purpose. A lot of car accidents the same way. It's the wicked minds of the people. And then of course, they can't figure out that it wasn't an accident. Then we have the CO2 levels are rising to their highest levels in millions of years. Of course, they say millions of years. They say it's from coal, oil, and natural gas. They don't know what it is, but it's sin that's causing this. And they're saying it's going to cause a catastrophe for mankind. And they're right on that. Then Wayne LaPierre, who is the one who was saying that we'll never surrender our guns. I couldn't find him exactly saying that point, but he's certainly using strong language along those lines. And then we have Al Jazeera, Israel bombed Damascus. And this is the beginning of three stories. Israel bombing Damascus, which was the second attack in a couple weeks. And then Russia is going to supply Israel, going to supply Syria with SA-300 missiles. And in this story, they say they're not sure if they're going to supply them with these missiles. But these are very advanced missiles. And they're capable of making it very difficult for the U.S. to impose a no-fly zone, if that's what they choose to do. And in the commentary about Russia's stance on Syria, they always have this little bit of a doubt as to whether Russia will stand up for Syria. This sale ends that doubt. This shows that Russia is behind Syria all the way up to the point of defending Syria against Israel and the United States, because these are very advanced anti-missile systems. They're so advanced they've never even been used in actual war. They've never been used in war. They're more advanced than anything that's actually been used in war. And they even have slightly more advanced versions that carry nuclear warheads. And then Russia, in almost a defiant move, states that we're not planning to sell these. We've already sold them. So, let's play the video. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Shalom, everyone! Hey, we got a crowd here today. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh, you may be seated. About to wear these out. We got to get some new ones up here. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If you can see from the news there. The world has got its mind on war. In fact, we're of the opinion now, we was talking about it this morning, it looks like things are falling in shape, number-wise, also news-wise, that it may start about July, could start sooner. Don't forget these cards. Try this, it will solve your problem. That's on one side. Then the program has been proven to work in all fields. Give these to leaders, politicians, teachers, superintendents. This right here is beautiful, I think. I know. If I can get this where you can see it, attitude of servitude. That's Yahweh's way. Praise Yahweh. I couldn't have said that better. Pentecost. Now, where the gold this Pentecost? We will eat together that day, community meal. Yahweh willing in unity. Yahweh willing in unity, complete unity. We need your picture today. That's the women. Today, immediately after services, women will rush outside, be running down here to the tent of Abel. If you saw that tent, that's a tent of Abel down there. And you'll see the history of all of this in the picture as shown in the scriptures. But the women after services will hurry in front of the sanctuary to the tent of Abel while dinner is waiting. So they won't be gone long. They'll be getting hungry. It'll take a little while. The cameras will be set up and ready to take the pictures. Now, after the pictures, they will rush back in, and then the men can leave the sanctuary. But don't leave the sanctuary till the women get that picture taken. You men stay inside till after the picture is taken, then you can leave. So finish and get back in, you women. Praise Yahweh. The plan of Yahweh, this is not the sermon, but I want to say something about this before. I do want you to understand Pentecost. It's Count 50, of course, as the song goes. And if you haven't heard that song, you could have heard it this morning. If you'd have been here on time, you heard it because we played it twice this morning. But you need to learn that song and be ready for Pentecost. You need to understand it. Learn the song, learn every word. Look at every word of it. You'll be amazed what all is in that song that Yahweh put there. If you remember Passover, Yahweh chose a perfect lamb, and he showed this at Passover, where the death sentence passed over. This was a picture of his plan. And the death sentence passed over because Yahweh, in his plan, had selected a perfect lamb. He had selected, preordained. And if you could think of the wisdom that this took before the earth was, before man was created, and Yahweh then created the earth and mankind, and in that plan, he actually predicted when a man without sin, he would live totally without sin. Now, this took 4,004 years to bring this payment for sin. he paid the debt of sin. The wages of sin is death. and he took 4,004 years to bring this about, and then to pay for your past sins. Everyone, to pay for the past sins. There's so many things that the world is so lacking on. If I brought that article, I would like, oh, here it is, stuck to my back of my book. Now, this came out this week. There's a lot of controversy, as I said there would be. It may be fake. I think there's room to think that there's a lot of truth here, but it's called Before News. That's where it came out. Message from God found hidden inside DNA sequence. I don't know if you've ever studied the DNA, but it's the makeup of the human body. And of course, inside that human, inside your genes, they have discovered they now understand 2% of the genes, which means they don't understand 98% of the genes and what they do. But they know from that 2% that they've found, you know, you get the color of your hair, the length of your nose, the length of your toes, it's all there. And they understand that. And when I studied this first, it was shortly after the first work came out on it, and I started studying it. And I could see then that, you know, they kept pointing out what they didn't understand. And of course, now they're saying that what they don't understand is ridiculous. It's junk. They want to call it junk. But now there's some new science teams that are studying the junk. And they have found in it, they call it junk DNA yields new kind of gene. That's one article. Another one is junk DNA. Over 98% of DNA is largely unknown, and that's the reason they call it junk, is because they don't understand it. Now, listen closely, because this is important, because of creation, Yahweh's plan. You know, you think it's not going to come about, but I can guarantee you it is. And if you'll just study this, the makeup of creation, which they want to call evolution, you know, but the makeup of creation is so complicated. King David said we were wonderfully made. Well, you can see from this creation itself that it took a magnificent mind. That's the biggest word I can pronounce, being an Okie. But it a magnificent mind to create the genes that he formed man with, to where there'd be no two of you alike. And then he would pick from this creation of his a golden age, so to speak, a time period which we're approaching right now with this Pentecost. As I show you in this sermon, I can't hold you up this sermon and do the whole thing, but I'll get as much as I can. But these guys write more than 98% of all DNA was called junk DNA by molecule biologists because they were unable to ascribe the function to it. They assumed that it was just molecule garbage. If it were junk, the sequence of syllables, so meaning it has syllables, it also has numbers, as number in Scripture by H.L. Bullinger. If you've ever, if you studied that, I did. I got the book. I studied it because I could see it was necessary to understanding Scripture. And, well, the same thing they're seeing now in the 98% junk genes that they have classified as junk. So they assumed that it was just molecule garbage. It was junk. But if it were junk, the sequence of syllables, i.e. the nucleotides in the DNA, would be completely random. In other words, it wouldn't show a pattern. But now they're finding out that every part of their so-called junk genes shows a pattern. Now, finding the pattern of what it's showing is a different thing. However, it has been found that the sequence of syllables is not random at all and has a striking resemblance with the structure of human language. In human language, the language, how Yahweh divided the language, remember? So it has a striking resemblance to human language, showing how Yahweh actually, through the genes, planned this before mankind was born, of course. He didn't come down here and have another breeding program when Nimrod was created. But he, before the earth began, he put this in the genes. In June 2004, a team of Harvard Medical School reported that they have in a yeast found a junk DNA gene that regulates the activity of nearby genes. So now this is just a little of what they're finding now that they're really studying, but hoping to do some more work. But anyway, junk DNA yields new kind of gene. Now, this comes to the study that was put out that the Christians are saying, oh, it's just a scheme, it's just junk. And it could be. But the team that wrote this actually put a lot of knowledge into this thing. And it's called Before It's News, Message from God Found Hidden Inside DNA. Researchers at Harvard University announced today that they have found what appears to be a message from God written inside the human genome in a little explored section of non-coding DNA. A team of top genetics discovered a 22-word sentence of ancient Aramaic in which God, and they put the word God, so I'm reading it, in which God confirms his existence and his role in creating life on earth. The stunning finding represents nearly irrefutable evidence that God's existence and his role in creating the process of evolution by natural selection. The message was discovered when researchers noticed strange mathematical patterns appearing within a certain evolution by natural. The message was discovered when researchers noticed strange mathematical patterns appearing within a certain section of the genome. Here is what they discovered, they say. Hello, my children, which was probably written, Shalom, my children. And notice it's speaking to, praise Yahweh, it's speaking to my children. Now, the sermon I brought last week to you about Yahweh not gathering figs from thistle trees or briar trees, but he gathers it from his house of righteousness. Now, that's, if you don't remember, that's in Matthias, the seventh chapter, and Yahshua was showing there's many false prophets. But Yahweh is not gathering from these false prophets. He's not gathering his people from them. He's gathering his people from his house. That's where he makes his selection. Praise Yahweh. I'll show you the scripture that shows you that took place. That's the way it's taken place. That's where he brought you to the gold, right here at his house. Hello, my children. This is Yahweh. Now, they didn't put God, they put Yahweh. if this team of scientists were wanting to win points, they would have put God or Lord there. But they didn't. They put Yahweh. This is Yahweh, the one true, and they put Lord there. And probably the word, they use the word in a Hebrew word that means power or strength, because that's what Isaiah used, the one true power. That's what the last day's witness, branch, olive branch that pours out the golden oil, he said, Isaiah said, would be using in this last day, showing to the whole world that Yahweh is the only power. We're the only ones on earth doing that, brethren. The one true power, you have found creation's secret, now share it peacefully with the world. That's the message they found, they say, and they printed it there for us today. Now, they didn't use the word Lord or God there, if you notice. they used the word Yahweh, and they're receiving a lot of slack, a lot of flack from this because of the of course it disagrees with Christianity, and they don't want anyone to know that name. That name is taboo. You're not, if you're a Christian, you can get kicked out of the Christian church by using it. Well, with that in mind, this may be fake. I don't know, but it sure got a lot of interest in scientists now, the article, and of course the junk DNA, which there's 98% of it that they don't understand yet. Yahweh understands it. You will understand it very soon if you'll be true to Yahweh. You sure will, and you'll have the power to create DNA and bring about changes 6,000 years in the future. You'll be able to plan and create a change 6,000 years later, or 4,000 or 5,000 years later in the DNA of mankind, bringing about a certain event, which he did in Yahshua. Took him 4,004 years to create Yahshua, a perfect man without sin. Now, the promise was in the beginning that a branch that Yahshua, that works with Yahshua, would bring about a golden era of perfection. Now, that was the prophecy in the beginning from Yahweh's law. The prophets all spoke of this and added to it, and the rest of the branch would be beautiful. The rest, the holy Sabbath of rest, would be beautiful, which it is every Sabbath. I used to see people drag the services late when they're getting here at 10 o'clock. Now they come early, some of them before I get here, and they run from their car to the sanctuary, some of them. Some of them are singing on the way. they can hardly wait to get here on Sabbath morning. The Sabbath is such a joy and a delight to them. coming from, of course, the servitude, the attitude of servitude, the attitude of servitude, that couldn't be written more beautiful than that. And of course, that's what Yahshua taught, the attitude of servitude, being a slave to one another. And of course, it's your work. It's your work that's bringing about this eagerness, this joy of getting to Yahweh's house way before services start and being a part of the service, the servitude. Well, now back to Pentecost. With all of that in mind and Yahweh's plan, I've never brought this before, and you're going to have to listen closely and get all the points and keep them in mind between now and Pentecost, because I'll bring the rest then. But it means count 50. Well, of course, what that means is it was put in the song. If you can make it out, if you can just look for it and make it out. But the count the 50. And I want you to learn the song, learn every word of it. Passover shows Yahweh chose a perfect lamb, took him the 4,004 years to bring him about. Then about 50 years later, a day for a year, get that now, a day for a year, that's in Yukiska. You could turn to there, Yukiska 4. Yukiska 4 and verse 6. And remember, a day for a year for putting together Yahweh's plan and him showing this in the word Pentecost or count 50, where he brings about this feast of harvest. If you are a farmer, you know the trouble with farming, especially if you're having drought. Now, if everything was like the Garden of Eden, there would be no problem. You plant your seeds right after Passover is over. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is over. You plant your seeds. And then, of course, by Pentecost, you start harvesting the fruit and getting it ready to take to Yahweh's house so you can share that fruit with others. Food. So there'll be food in my house. Now this is the first fruits. Now put that together with people and you'll start to understand the 50 days, the 50 years, the 50 years. But look at first chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, and when you have completed them, you will lie down on a second time on your right side, then you will bear the iniquity of the house of Yada 40 days. I have appointed you each day a year. Well, of course, he is showing the sins of Judah, which is also shown in drought and famine, because they're the ones that brought it, the family. I've dealt with no others. You're the one that did it. This is the one family I'm dealing with, and you're the ones that's brought all this mess about. You brought it upon yourselves because you broke my laws. And he tells us clearly in the last days, there is a group of people that's not going to make these mistakes. We're going to actually believe without seeing. We're going to see these mistakes of others. We won't drop into them ourselves, will we? Now hit yourself on the head maybe and make sure you don't, because we're too close right now. You could lose your place in the kingdom and you lose your opportunity of receiving this great authority, power that I just showed you in the genes here. That's part of it. That scientists understand 2% of. 98% they don't understand, that will be given to you to understand. Yes, that's part of that great authority that we're going to receive. We'll count a day for a year. Now, if you go over to chapter, I put down chapter 40, but I think it's 36. No, it's 40. It's 40. Yukiska 40. Yukiska 40. Now, in studying the temple, of course, there's a lot of things shown in this temple. And, of course, we built a model of it. And I know some of you will remember all the headaches of the studying and arguing and and the settlement of arguments that took to put that temple together. But it's put together according to Yahweh's perfection. And here in chapter 40 now shows the building or putting together of his house, house, of his house. If you look at chapter 1, because this is a pattern, of what Yahweh has done down through the years, first bringing about his Savior. That was the one promised in Genesis 49, 10, and 11, if you remember, that would teach the law, that he inherited that law to be the teacher of the law. That's what you're looking at right there in Genesis 49, if you're at that part. But that was the scepter. His scepter is a scepter of righteousness, remember? So Yahweh brought his creation down to Yahshua 4,004 years later, and had it put within his genes already to love the law and to overcome all opposition, including the opposition he's fighting today. And Yahshua plainly says, and you need to memorize this, the gates of hell will not prevail against my house. That was Yahshua doing the talking, speaking of you. That was speaking of you. You are his house. We're in a building, yes, that always goes with a house, but you are the house of Yahweh, or as they changed it later and called it, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit, they put Holy Ghost. They don't even understand what they're talking about, you know, but it's the house of the law. The house of the law of Yahweh. That's the house that teaches the law of Yahweh. And in these last days, he's putting together a body of believers. If you could have seen what I saw when I saw all of this except the last few speakers, Monday evening, and at the seminar, and I saw one speaker after another, and I told everyone years ago that this was what was going to take place. Yahweh is building a house of teachers of his law. Now, if you can think of Yahshua and how he was this very thing, he lived it, he taught it, he lived it. And that's what you have come to do right now. You're a teacher. No matter what you do, no matter what attitudes you take, you're a teacher. Now, you may be burned in hell for what you're setting forth teaching, unless you come into unity with me and start teaching exactly what I teach, as the great Shaul Hawkins just brought out, into unity. That's very important. You can't rebel against Yahweh's house. You become a teacher of Satan. You can become Satan's teacher. That's what Yahweh calls you. 1 John 3:7-8. If you don't teach the law in unity with me, you become a servant of Satan, and Satan don't give eternal life. She wants you destroyed. And that's her whole purpose today. But notice now, he said in chapter 40, verse 1, he gives the year of captivity, beginning of the year in which the 10th day of the moon of the 14th year after the city had fallen. Well, of course, he warned the 12 tribes, the family that he dealt with, as Moshe said, he warned them ahead of time, this is what the kings are going to bring you. Remember, that as sure as he prophesied Yahshua would come at a certain time and set the genes, the alarm clock. I've always told you, you know, you had an alarm clock in your head. Well, that alarm clock is your genes, of course. And a certain time was picked for you to wake you up, to bring you to Yahweh's house, as the great Kohan Shaul just brought out, bring you to his house where you're made of golden oil, pure golden oil, the same oil that Yahweh puts in me. He says, I'm going to put this in your seed. Now, you can turn against it like Yada did, you know. It's not 100%. It's still left up to the individual to choose. But I'm telling you, if you turn now, you're choosing death. the second death, not the first one, but the second one. Well, here he says, the 14th day gives the day, the selfsame day, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and took me there. In the vision of Yahweh, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon the great exalted mountain. Now, that, of course, was the promotion of Yahweh's house. The same thing as he says, in the last days I will establish my house. Well, he said, in the chief of the mountains. Well, this is the great promotion or exalted promotion of his house. And what he did with that, he changed the world with one man there. He changed the whole attitude of the world in one day. When that man was killed, it changed the whole world. There's no doubting that. You could deny Yeshua if you want to, but you study history, the world changed the day that man was killed. Proving what they're trying to show here in this article of a message from Yahweh in these last days to his house, spread this message peacefully. Who's preaching peace today? Man, the news there, you know. Yes, no, we're not saying we're thinking about selling missiles to Syria. We've been doing it for years. That's what the man said. And we're going to keep selling them to him. Now, this means cross my line and we're at war. We can see it. You can see that getting so close here. Nobody's preaching peace but the house of Yahweh. Everybody's wanting that peace. And what's holding them back is the warmongers who are saying, no, we've got to kill our enemies. You know, they've been killing their enemies ever since Abel and Cain and still don't have their enemies killed. And now they're going to kill each other trying to kill their enemies from ballistic missiles and nuclear bombs. Well, here now in this vision, he showed the great exalted mountain of Yahweh. And on it, like a building of a city on the south. Look at verse 5. Now he says, and behold, there was an adjoining separation. An adjoining separation. And here he sees you see something dividing this from the world. A separation from the world. That's what he's talking about right there and showing you this in this division in the last days. There's a lot of prophecies in this. In this chapter right here, the preceding chapters and the ones after this, concerning the house of Yahweh in these last days. The separation wall around a temple. Around a temple, the house of Yahweh is the last temple, of course, the last house of Yahweh. In the being's hand was a measuring reed. If you remember that's measuring reed, like a rod, is given to the witness. Given to the witness in Revelations. He gave me a reed likened to a rod and said, measure this temple. Well, that means put together. What you see here, and I know I'm the only one that sees it right now, but you're going to see it very soon. I'll make it clear one verse at a time, one word at a time. Then he went to the gate, which faced toward the east, and ascended up its steps and measured the threshold, and at the entrance was one reed, very narrow, and the other threshold, one reed wide. If you compare that with what I brought now last week, you've got to keep all these things in mind or you won't understand what he's referring to here. I'm not saying that there's not going to be a temple built now. Don't get that. But it refers to other things here. It refers to the house of Yahweh in the last day. Now, in Matthew 7, Yeshua said, take the narrow gate, the straight and narrow gate. And that's what he paints here, is that straight and narrow way into that temple. And then Yeshua said in chapter 22, blessed are those who keep his laws, for they have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the kingdom of Yahweh, or house of Yahweh. May enter in through that gate. Well, keep that in mind now as you do this, but notice now the separation wall first, the great separation here. And turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter, found on page 890. 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 6, found on page 904. 2 Corinthians 6, and notice here verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, he is a new creature. Now, that is, if you've been called out of the world and brought to the house of Yahweh, you become a new creature. If you can think of what went on in your genes or what that alarm clock did, what Yahweh put in each and every one of us, and we will understand that one day clearly and be able to do it. But if you think about that, it just turns your life around. When Yahweh calls you, and it might have been a word, or as two people told me, the reason they came here, the woman went to sleep watching television. She woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning, started to turn the television off when she noticed the words, something about your prayers being answered. The Creator has a name. And few people know it, yet they wonder why their prayers aren't answered today. And she jotted down the phone number, called us. We started sending the literature. Well, that just turned that whole world around. Yeah. He is a new creation. The old has passed away or is beginning. This is your chance to let the old pass away and behold the new. Now look on over to chapter 6. That was 5:17. Look on over to chapter 6 and verse 17. And he says, therefore, come out from among them. Remember the separation wall? The separation wall of the temple in Yekiska, chapter 40, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh. Do not touch the unclean, and I will receive you. Only if you come out from among them and stop touching the unclean, then I will receive you. There's accidents, of course, but deliberate sin is the one that won't be forgiven. Look back up to verse 14 first. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what harmony can there be between Messiah and Belial? That is Satan. Or what share does a believer have with an infidel, someone who does not believe, someone of the world? And what agreement does the house of Yahweh have with the gods? Remember what Satan said to Eve in chapter 3 and verse 5? Do this and you'll be like the gods. leave the house of Yahweh and let's go visiting, let's go playing around, let's go seeing sights. Oh, it's so exciting, it's so desirable. You could get on this Ferris wheel and go way up there and come way back down. Wow, what an experience that is. And your head is so empty, it's as empty as your hands. Come, stay in the house of Yahweh, and your head will be filled with the knowledge of your future in Yahweh's kingdom. But Satan is still trying to get people to be like the gods, for we are the house of the living Father. That's what he's creating. That's what he shows us there in that temple for the last days. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And he showed us now, definitely in the riding of the clouds, as Yahshua said he would. He said, look up and see, I'm going to show you in the cloud. And lo and behold, the clouds came and the words were there, the gold, the sewing of the holy garments, everything. He knows it. He's showing you this and has shown us. We have pictures of it. Dozens of them now. I don't know if we'll have time to show them again, but we've showed them before. But yes, he's definitely writing to us. The branch, the olive tree, and the donkeys spoken of in Genesis 49. Yes, Genesis 49. His plan was way back then. Actually, it was made long before that, he said. And they will be my people. They will be my people. Not the thorns and thistles right now. We will give them a chance later. Every one of them will give them a chance later. But if they pull you into their uncleanness, if they pull you on your summer vacations or whatever you want to call it, into their uncleanness, get it out of your mind now. Don't let it hang around till Pentecost. Make up your mind now, you're not going to fall in that trap again. That's where I'm coming from. Don't let it occur again. You celebrated your last Christmas. That was the lies of God worship. Just more, there's thousands of them out there now, trying to pull you away. Who's the nearest to you that would pull you away? Your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your sister, what? If they do, they can pull you out of this authority group that you could receive right here, pull you out, you'd never get another chance. That's it. You'd never receive another chance to win this prize right here that Yahweh has set before you. We always says, I'll walk among you. He's here right now. His eyes and heart is here with you right now. I will be their father, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Don't touch their uncleanness. It's everywhere. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters. Chapter 7, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness. That's the laws of Yahweh that perfect holiness. Remember, John, Yochanan 663, perfecting holiness in the reverence of Yahweh. In Ephesians 5. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hold up. We got people that's waiting to take pictures, and these pictures are very important. We got to have them together by Pentecost to go with this song. You'll see, this is going to set it in your mind, everybody's mind. We've got a beautiful Pentecost coming up. We could receive gifts on that day. put everything out of your mind. Make up your mind you're not going to participate in anything in the world at all, including kinfolks. Put it out and tell Yahweh you'll put it out. Tell him I repent. I'm not going to do it again. And this Pentecost, brethren, if you cleanse yourself of this, of what is bringing these wars, what is bringing the sickness and disease, if you cleanse yourself, you could well receive these gifts at this coming Pentecost. It's that close. The war is that close. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the service back to the next leader. Men, men, be sure you stay inside till the women get through out there in the south, in front of the sanctuary. I love you.